You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Fan Fest is coming up. Over 30 players and alumni are locked in for the Browns Fan Fest on Saturday, June the 6th, including Joe Hayden, Dante Whitner, Kevin Mack, and first-round pick Cam Irving. Not to mention, you'll hear from Coach Mike Pettine and GM Ray Farmer, plus a locker room sale on site. To see the full list of appearances and to get your tickets today, visit clevelandbrowns.com or the official Browns mobile app.
So wait, all right, so here's my question today.
What?
I want to go back to the golf outing. Why was Wilhelm not in a foursome?
He was the celebrity driver.
Should have been.
Why were you not golfing? Who do we got to talk to about that?
We'll talk to Renee. Next year will be different. But I think it was just an idea that she had. And I don't think every group had a celebrity. So they were.
Did you have fun with the celebrity driving, or would you have rather played a round?
I'd have rather played.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's why every group I had an opportunity to go up and hit another golf shot, I wanted to. Because I was like, by the time I hit the same shot 50 times, I was like, I just want to hit something else.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why, like, I drive up and, you know, and the cool thing about it is, like, you know, some groups had, you know, 125, you had 75. You know,
was that your best approach that you hit, the one with us?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's so hard is because, and
attaboy.
I mean, by that time you guys were fairly early, but I mean, it was just a finicky yardage.
It's a tough,
you know,
downhill lie.
It's downhill lie, front pin. You know, I had a lot that were 15, 20 feet past. You know, that were nice shots. Had it been, you know,
the one you hit, that's spectacular.
What was the yardage?
Yeah, it was 75. Popped it up there.
Hit about a 60. Yeah, I don't know, about 60%, 60-degree wedge. Yeah. 75, you know, 75.
Just popped it up.
It just popped
dropped
it, up,
it down there.
It
and
down,
then
made it rain.
Mike Nicklaus, our HR guy.
Did he good.
Dropped it in there.
Yeah. And even JW's group, I hit the drive that literally ran. You know, he hit a guy. They had a guy that bombed one out there that ran off the, you know, actually ran through.
Sure.
You know, kind of where yours was, but it was off right and a little bit further down. But I hit this little laser beam that just carried the grounds under repair on the left-hand side, carried it, and it rolled all the way down and through the fairway on that hole. But we were left with like 40 yards uphill front pin.
Tough little chip.
It was a tough chip. So we actually took our club length back, you know, into like, because we were obviously in the rough, that we went under the fringe, but it was still, it's just a tough, nobody could get inside 10 feet. It was just tough.
Yeah, it's a tough little angle. Yeah. You got a little feel shot there.
Where'd your foursome finish, Segura? Who'd you golf with?
So I golfed with
the Browns
CFO, Dave Jenkins, Greg Rush, the head of HR, Mike Nicklaus, and then the mayor of Berea and myself. And, you know, we had a great time. We all chipped in. We ended up finishing fourth. We shot 59, which was fourth out of the whole tournament. But when you consider that, like, our combined team handicap was in the 80s with no strokes, it was a pretty remarkable feat. Because, like, Johnny had a pro with him.
Johnny had a pro with him. And I mean, in Johnny's crew,
yeah,
every ball was in the fairway.
So I heard a rumor that Johnny drove the green on one.
Johnny, the hole that I was on is a dog leg, 300. It was 355, dog leg left.
Yep.
Number one. He was about 25 yards off the green. So he went over the fairway, over a tree, landed about 25 yards off. And I didn't hit a shot because I'm like, you know, they've got plenty of, you know, firepower in this group. But I just literally jumped in my cart and want to see where this dang ball landed because he pummeled that
thing,
you know, and you lost it into the, you know, over the trees. And I just got, where did this thing really come down? And actually, I threw a towel on it before every group because every group had to go find their balls, you know, and then like Johnny just like drives up with the big, you know, the huge grin from ear to ear. And he's like, yep, got that one. You know.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And everybody, and all what's so funny is you get groups coming up to, you know, the number one hole, and there's like a little photo booth on one. And I was there to hit the celebrity long drive. Groups got, where's everybody at? What's the lowest score you've heard so far?
Heck yeah.
You know, and then, so he's like, what, you know, who's hit the best shot on this hole? And I'm like, after Johnny came through, I'm like, dude, Johnny. They're like, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about Johnny because Johnny's name is on top of the long drive on like the three holes prior, you know, before I got here.
I'm pissed I lost a long drive on a par 5 that was 525, and we had 175 left, and only three people named. I was the second group to play the hole, and it made it the whole day, and I guess somebody beat me right at the end.
Really?
So you did 350.
Yeah.
So who, what force
and
won?
And I hit driver 7 iron on that par 5, and we...
Those hurt. You're like...
I couldn't believe I lost. I was like, if somebody beats that one, there's
somebody
no
had
way
to run out.
Yeah.
Just
so they just
you
wanted to beat it. It was the guy, though, that was playing with JW. So you said somebody in his group could bomb it.
Yeah, he could bomb.
Yeah, so it makes me feel a little bit better than somewhat legit. But for us, so we had been doing the same thing. We've been asking around, and the best number that we had heard was 12 under. So we were on 18. We were 12 under. And we had made this. I mean, when you think about, like, the guys I was playing, none of them had ever even shot in the 80s.
Right.
So, I mean, this was – the fact that we were in this was miraculous. I was playing very, very well. It was as good as I played in a long, long time. And on 18, so we hit our drive. We're off on the right, just into the rough. We have about 150 to the pin. And all of a sudden, because we're on the last hole, everybody's coming through. So, like, it ends up being the whole Liberty Ford group was there. Paul Kruger, Jim Herrick, and Greg Bambu, they're all there. Alec and Brent are driving around with their balloon. Sure. They're there. So as I'm over the shot, everybody starts heckling me.
And so you were the last to hit?
I was the last one to hit.
Oh, yeah. And no ball in the green yet?
No.
No surprise from that group.
No. So I'm over my shot, and Shiner is teasing me with very, like, personal inside jokes that I'm like, I just start laughing. So I back off the ball, which typically if you're over it and you're ready to hit and then you back off, typically you're not going to hit a good shot. Well. So I get back over it and knock it to about 15 feet, and then we needed it, and I was the last one to putt, and we needed me to make it, and I made it. And so we were like, we're celebrating on 18 green because we thought we got to 13 under and we were going to be in the money. And then so it turns out Johnny's group with the pros, they shot 57. The other group that had a couple pros, including like the club champion of two clubs, Monty Ahuja's group, no surprise, he had some good golfers with him, they shot 57, and then there was another team that shot 58. And we felt very gypped because if you would, they say in
you
scrambles,
guys all work for the team.
What does that mean?
Like
you can't win.
Yeah, thank you. You can't win the foundation like golf tournament.
The mayor of Berea was with us.
Oh, okay,
that's even more point.
All right,
how
three
dare
out
you?
Of the four of you.
Mayor Berea doesn't even play golf.
Okay, great. But
I'm. Well, this
you
is my
can't
point.
Win.
Let me. I first of all, we deserve to win. If you were to take, if you took the
here
expected
the
score for our group, and then our actual score, we would have had the biggest differential by far. Because in scrambles, typically what they do is they give you 10% of your handicap off, like of the whole group. So our group's total handicap would have been probably in the 80s.
What percentage?
Corey, this is what we call analytics.
Right. Yeah.
This is where we start falling asleep.
Zagura, Nathan, so what percentage of your shots, drives, approaches, second shots, did your group use?
Not counting putts?
Counting putts.
Not counting putts, probably 90, 95%.
Yeah.
Counting putts. There were some holes where I'd hit it close, so I didn't even have to putt.
Or, they just tap it in. Yeah. Or you'd hit it so close that they just tap it in for you.
We made one. We only made, the longest putt we made was on 18. That was the longest putt we made all day.
15-footer.
The mayor almost dropped in a 50-footer on one par three when I called him the boss of the moss. People like that. people seem to get a big kick out of that. We had the best time, though. Me, Jenks, Nick, and Rush.
Everybody had a good time.
Whenever Greg Rush would hit a good shot, I started singing "Rush, Rush" by Paul Abdul.
It was that's awesome. By
old
the way,
school. Old school.
It was amazing. I kept waiting for them to call you guys in because the weather was not ideal at all.
No, the weather wasn't ideal, but then it got pretty nice.
It did for about 2 hours.
And Barrington, I'll tell you what, it's in great shape.
It is,
and it's got the most ridiculous house I've ever seen.
Yes,
on that one hole.
You know what I heard?
It's like a college. It looks like a university.
It's one guy lives there. Old clubhouse. Is what I've been told. That was the original Barrington Golf Club clubhouse. And then when they built the new one, they downsized, renovated, made it the nice one that it is now. So they sold that to someone.
Yeah, some wired one guy lives there.
Yeah, that's retarded.
Listen, he can do whatever he wants. He can have wings in his house.
I just run around naked all day. Woo! No one will see me.
Well, if you're on the green, you might see it.
Yeah,
true. A lot of windows.
Just a flash. But what level are you going to look at? You know,
you don't even know where to look.
Five
That's
stories in that thing.
Could be like, where is he? You got to play the game.
He just takes trips up and down in his elevator.
Yeah, exactly. Gibbs, did you have fun out there at the foundation event? And how was the Gibbs and Gribbs?
It was good, man. You guys missed out. We had Joe Hayden.
I heard you guys
us.
Had like 800 guests,
yeah,
and it was
Joe
like
Hayden,
the most star-studded show ever.
John Hughes.
John Hughes.
Who was the best? Who was the best interview?
Robertson was really good. Robertson was really, really good.
He is good. My best run with Joe was on, there was one hole that was par five that was a long drive hole, and Tom Zenti, who is the president of University Hospitals, was playing in the UH group with Joe, and Zenti and I had played down in Jacksonville, and so he said to me, you know, we'd had some long drive contests down there, and he can bomb it when he catches it. He can really bomb it. And he got me on one of them. I got him once in Jacksonville, and he got me once. So we get there, and everybody was kind of backed up. So Hayden's group was there, our group was there, another group was there. And he's like, $5, long drive. Zenti. So I go, okay, fine. And Joe Hayden's like, lights are on bright. What are you going to do? And I killed one. And so I beat him when he came up. He's like, you beat me by so much. Here's $10. Give me $10. And Hayden was like, Hayden was loving it. He's like, my man with the lights on bright. I'm like, if I can make a pro bowler get excited, I'll take it. That was the highlight of the day.
At the end of the round, I saw Hayden. And keep in mind, Joe's golfed probably 2 or 3 times in 3 years.
He was very fashionable on the golf course.
I looked at Hayden and I was like, how'd you do? And he's like, man, I got to get out of here. I am way not in my element.
He's not a golfer.
There were many, again, because I was on one hole the entire day, every group came through.
I'll say this now I'm sure you'll agree with this, because I just saw him in the locker room and told him, the best golf attire of the event easily goes to Isaiah Crowell.
Oh, no doubt.
He was wearing a knit hat, ripped jeans.
A Gucci belt.
I'm not sure. It wasn't a golf shirt either.
It was not a golf shirt. It was a t-shirt.
It was a t-shirt.
V-neck t-shirt.
And he had like some nice shoes on, and that was his golf
shirt. And I heard he was at the ESPN hole, which I think we were on 10T. We had a bunch of Jello shots and things.
Yeah.
And Crowell's on the tee box, and I guess he swings and misses 3 straight times. And finally, he's like, I'm going to give this one a ride. And the ball rolled like 5 yards. And no one could even look at it. People were like, you didn't even make it past the women's tee.
He had never played golf before that day.
No.
No. So to get another little Johnny story.
Golf's hard.
It's not an easy sport.
So Johnny was with the Firestone guys, you know, the group that won the whole thing. And they're backed up, and they get to watch another group tee off. So Johnny sees like the perfect sight line of what he's going to do with this ball. Okay. So everybody hits. They've got, you know, multiple balls out there in the fairway because they were, you know, it's a really quality group. He walks up, plucks that thing in the ground, gets up on it, and just rips it. Like, I'm not talking not a waggle, not a bat of the eye. It's like when that thing was in the ground, boom, and it went exactly where he wanted it, right? So Mingo, his group was behind Johnny's group, backed up on number one, which is where I was at. And, like, you know, Mingo's just amazed that Johnny could just do it just like that so easy. So Mingo finally gets his turn. They, you know, they go up. They're hitting Johnny's shot. I finally come back. Mingo tries to do, like, his Billy Madison / Johnny Manziel. And he's like, he throws it in, and he comes and he just heaves on this thing, and he hit the ball down into the ground about 2 inches in front of his tee, at least 3 inches deep.
And it went nowhere.
And it went
just
nowhere.
Was buried.
It went boomp. And but at the angle that he was coming in on, it's literally.
That's more impressive than Johnny's shot.
So it got buried?
Yeah.
Yes.
Buried.
Yeah.
That's more impressive.
Yeah.
So you said you were a 2 handicap?
Yeah, I used to be. Yeah.
2 handicap. What was the strength of your game?
Huh?
What was the strength of your game? Obviously everything when you're a 2.
Well, yeah, but I would say fairways, hitting fairways, driving the ball. All around game is pretty good at
that
point.
Yeah, at that point. Yeah, absolutely.
That's all. But if I can poke it in the fairway 250.
So
you can bomb it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying
if I
can hit it in the fairway
250,
I could easily score in the 80s consistently.
Oh yeah,
that's it.
After that wedge,
mine is good.
My buddy's family had a golf course, so from the year I was started 18 years old.
Started playing golf?
No. I started earlier, but just on my own. But my friend, his family had a golf course, so my first summer in college, I got a internship, and the guy I was working for had to take off for like 2 months. So I got paid through the summer.
Brilliant.
It was amazing, right? Being 18 years old.
And you're getting paid to play golf.
I went from a 22 to a 2 that year. Just playing, because I had my buddy, they had a golf course. So I played
22 to a 2 in one summer.
In one summer.
It's a good summer.
I played, right.
Don't let the kid hear that. The kid's been trying to get down for his whole life.
I got to play with the 70-year-olds every morning, 36 holes every day, and the guys that own the course, right? So we'd play skins every morning. And
this is awesome, Gibbs.
For 36 holes, everyone, I got paid as a college kid to go play golf all day.
Genius.
For a whole summer.
Brilliant.
So I went down 20 strokes that summer, and
that's awesome. Sounds like the summer of George. Sounds good. Yes, rush playing. So we would sing this, and I hit one of the drives I hit on one of the holes I hit while singing it, because we had some good drives out there. So I was just singing it, and I like stepped out of it, and still it was good.
How was your shot though?
Good.
Well, if this song's playing, then it's gonna be a good shot.
You're gonna see, gonna run.
Good
All
fun,
right,
Gibbs.
Rush.
Good
the
fun.
Theme song of Greg Rush here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. When we come back, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer's press conference, will be with us right after this.